This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Evening Edition. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and our next story is about the upcoming Academy Awards. So the Oscars, as we know, are right around the corner. They're happening this Sunday night in the States and then Monday morning for us, time difference. And the Best Picture race is as wide open as it's ever been. So we wanted to take a look at the race to the finish in a little segment that we're calling Watch Now, brought to you by Astro. Joining me in the studio are Ian McNally and Bahi Yusuf. Guys, what have we got?
I think we start off with A Star is Born. It's nominated for Best Picture, and I think it's nominated for a whole load of other things, sound mixing, leading role.
But not actor. Best Director.
Not Best Director, no. Yeah.
He got snubbed quite a couple of times for that, right?
Yeah, there's kind of a little bit of snobbery in that first-time director shouldn't get it, but also a lot of people, there was poison pen letters that he had. The cinematographer had done most of the work.
For what it's worth, the he we're talking about is, of course, Bradley Cooper, who is both the director and the star of A Star is Born. Although, you know, you could question whether he was the star, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to say, because was he the lead or was Lady Gaga the lead?
It's a doubleheader.
I think it's a doubleheader. I think it would be really... God, I'm going to say this, but sexist to assume that Bradley Cooper is the lead and Lady Gaga is the supporting role, right? Because the story is really that almost transition of power from Bradley Cooper's rock star maybe on the slight wane to Lady Gaga on the up. But it's a doubleheader in terms of cast. I think they should have probably both been nominated. I thought it was a really good performance from both of them.
Mm-hmm. And it also, I didn't realize, it's only the first time Sam Elliott has been nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Yeah.
Ooh.
Which seems like, what are we doing?
That's a crime.
We're just doing things wrong.
It's a crime against Sam Elliott. Yeah.
But it is interesting that for his first movie, Bradley Cooper is getting this nomination. Mm. And making movies is magic. It's amazing that these things all come together and these thousands of people and everything pull it all together and it actually transports you somewhere. And this one then adds music as well that works incredibly well.
Mm. Do you think it's going to win, though? I found it interesting partly just because it's such an old-fashioned film. I mean, it is, of course, a remake of a remake. Yeah, exactly. But it is just... You don't see a lot of melodramas, and it's a straightforward melodrama. Yeah. You can see, exactly the arc that the characters are going through. It's very familiar, but at the same time, it's not something that I think a lot of audiences seem to have the patience for, or that filmmakers seem to think audiences have the patience for anymore.
I mean, I'll be honest, I avoided it for a long time because I felt it was a melodrama.
And yeah, it is sappy.
I tend to not enjoy melodramas, but I really like this one. I think it was quite... Maybe, like you said, we haven't seen one of these in a while, right? So it was really nice to see. It's also shot really, really well, really pretty.
There's really nicely done the way their meet cute goes on forever, but just it's very naturalistic.
Mm. Yeah.
They're just sitting on the curb chatting or getting thrown out of a bar and just hanging around. I was surprised that's usually most movies like this will try and capture the first flush of romance or lust rather than romance, whereas this seemed to be building that up completely.
Yeah. And they really sort of played it out, right? They didn't rush through it. It wasn't just a quick overnight thing, I'll call you tomorrow kind of situation. No, they spent the evening together in the sense that they actually spent time together. They were hanging out, they went for drinks, they got into a punch-up, they went shopping. It was a nice sort of prolonged meet-cute, which is something you don't see.
Yeah. It was lovely. Okay, we could spend the whole, kind of 20 minutes
We've barely talked about the music, which is just the moment you hear Let the Old Ways Die at the beginning and you see him on stage, you're like, okay, this is going to work.
Yeah. I have to say, I really enjoyed the music. For me, I enjoyed the Bradley Cooper music. Not so much so when Lady Gaga turns into Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Into Ali.
Ali
Gaga.
Come on.
Once I knew we were doing this, I couldn't stop singing Shallows again, which I thought I'd gotten out of my head when I saw it in the cinema.
No, it lodges in there.
Oh, Shallows wasn't the song that got me. It was that first one.
The Let the Old Ways Die
one. That guitar-driven... Oh, man, I really love that song. The Shallows, I was just like, really? This is what everybody's talking about?
So the thing is, we're talking about music, but that's not the only Best Picture nominee that has a focus on music and a very, very, very famous musician.
Mm. So with Bohemian Rhapsody, it's up for Best Picture as well. Also, Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role, Rami Malek. But I wasn't so mad on this one when it came out at first. It's grown on me over time, but I know that in order to bend the story to the Hollywood kind of storyline and the three-act structure, certain liberties were taken, and I wish they weren't those liberties they had taken.
Mm. This really feels like a Broadway West End version of the Freddie Mercury story.
Mm.
You know, they glossed over a lot of bits. They over-dramatized certain bits. The, you know, air quotes, band breakup stuff didn't really happen so much. You know, the issues everybody had with Freddie Mercury wanting to do his own solo album, when in actual fact, the lead guitarist had two by then.
Yeah, Brian May and Roger Taylor had already done.
So it just seems like, yeah, to me, I was not big on Bo Rap at all.
Bo Rap.
I threw it out there. I hate calling it that.
The cast and crew call it Bo Rap, apparently, so in interviews.
That's what the kids do.
It's interesting that you know, you're talking about Sarah's Born being old-fashioned, whereas this feels like an old-fashioned biopic, you know? These days, people try to tend to pick on a specific section of someone's life, or in the Steve Jobs movie, three little small things that tie together. They seem to try to fit everything in. And while there was moments I did like the finding out that I didn't love Queen, but never knew the thing about the teeth, that actually he had that many teeth, and he thought he had extra row.
He's not a shark.
No.
No.
It would be cool.
But he had extra wisdom teeth, and he thought that gave him his range. Mm. Things like that, and those little things peppered throughout it were fantastic.
What else do we have in the lineup?
An interesting one is Black Klansman.
Mm.
I think Black Klansman's a really interesting choice. Spike Lee doesn't really get a lot of, you know, the industry established attention. I think Black Klansman's interesting also because it's got Denzel Washington's son in the lead role. I think it's his first feature. I think he's a great actor, really strong performer. And I enjoyed Black Klansman to a point.
Yeah, it's hard to get rid of the idea that it's his time award. We probably should have given him the Oscar for Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
Or Malcolm X.
But we couldn't because he was too political at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Inside Man.
Yeah. Inside Man was great.
So what is the actual story of Black Klansman? Because that's an interesting title. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, if you've ever seen a sort of more contrasting title in one, I don't know.
Basically, it's a police officer who answers an ad in the newspaper talking to join the Klan, and he just happens to be African-American.
Oh, the organization, as they like to call it.
The organization, yeah. These are idiots. It's like,
they're the Keystone Cops. They're not the smartest tools in the shed.
I was kind of expecting this to be a very kind of hard-hitting historical drama kind of thing. And in a way, it's not. It's like Scooby-Doo investigates the Klan.
Yeah.
Up until the very end, almost.
Mm.
Like, these guys are bumbling idiots.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
It's good fun. I don't think it's one of his better ones. I think Spike Lee's done, of the three, I mean, we mentioned the three earlier, completely strong contenders for his best work. I think this one is fine. It's fine. It's a Spike Lee joint. It's fine. I don't know why it's Best Picture in the nominations for it. Yeah.
It might be partly down to the fact that it does have that kind of feel-good factor of this African-American making fun of David Duke, who's played by Topher Grace from The 70s Show, who is the Grand High Wizard of the Klan. He has also a new title with the times. Yeah. But this guy's still around. There is all that joshing and fun, and you're thinking you're having, you know, we can all be happy with ourselves that racism's a thing of the past. And then there's a tonal shift at the end of the movie that kind of is like, wake up.
It's literally at the end. It's the last 30 seconds of the movie. It just goes into sort of real world current 2017 footage of the Charlottesville car crash through the protesters, and he prominently portrayed. Well, okay.
Spoilers. Racism is still around.
Racism's still around.
So, as far as a meditation on race goes, it's no 12 Years a Slave, I'm thinking.
No. He gets on very well with his colleagues. There is a weird moment. You're kind of thinking, like, okay, now that the initial contact is made, he has to get Adam Driver to go and attend the meetings because obviously he can't turn up. But at that point, they don't just hand it off. And I was kind of expecting some reason to come up where he had to stay on the phone. And they didn't quite sell that. But I think that's all in service of his conceit, which is this whole jokey fun adventure until look at the end and like, no, this is something we need to deal with as a world. And that's probably why it's got the nomination.
Also, based on a true story.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Oscar voters love that.
Yeah.
So we're running down the Best Picture nominees today. We've gotten through 3 out of 8. We're doing okay. It's A Star Is Born, Black Klansman, and Bohemian Rhapsody that we've covered. We've got 5 to go. So if you've not managed to actually watch any of those 3, they're all available on Astro, with both A Star Is Born and Black Klansman being actually uncensored. You can, of course, watch it on demand. It's available on Astro Go, connected PVR. You can find out how at watchod.com. But of course, it being uncensored doesn't mean that it's necessarily for all ages, I think.
Yeah, so any of the uncensored movies on Watch OD or via PVR, you'll have to put in your adult PIN in order to queue it up. So don't worry, the kids won't be wandering around Black Klansman asking questions.
So we've gotten through 3 of the 8. Up next, we continue our run-through of the Best Picture nominees in light of the Oscars that are happening this weekend. This is Watch Now, brought to you by Astro, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn. I'm joined today by Ian McNally and Bahi Yusuf because the Oscars are happening this weekend. The Best Picture race is wide open and we're taking a look at the nominees in a little segment that we're calling Watch Now, brought to you by Astro. So earlier we spoke about A Star Is Born, Bohemian Rhapsody and Black Klansman. That is 3 out of the 8 nominees for Best Picture. Moving on to the next one, we've got the Titan, that is Black Panther, and then a few movies that haven't quite made it to our shores yet.
I mean, we can't really talk about The Favourite, Green Book or Vice because they're not really out here. I mean, partially this is great that Astro are bringing these over so quickly because the Oscars brings a lot of buzz, and I don't think The Favourite is something that would have gotten a lot of Malaysian eyeballs on it. For Black Panther, I mean, we have to put that towards the end because otherwise Bahir and I will just end talking about that forever.
Fight.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. So we can't talk that much about The Favourite, although that is, that looks very interesting to me, actually. Mm. That's the one that I'm keenest on. It's Yorgos Lanthimos, right?
Mm. The only problem is I get confused between that one and the one with Margot Robbie and Saoirse Ronan.
Queen of Scots.
Yeah, because the trailers look very similar with lots of women in big dresses flouncing down hallways being angry at each other.
Different eras, though. Different dresses. Come on. Then we've got Green Book, which is, actually, there's a strange theme here of, I suppose, movies with race being a central theme because, of course, Green Book stars Viggo Mortensen, Mahershala Ali,
yeah,
and is directed by a Farrelly brother.
Yes, that's weird.
I can't really talk much about the movie because
we haven't seen it.
It never came here. But essentially, it's based on this conceit that in the 60s, for an African American to travel south, you could get your hands on what's known as a green book.
Of the safe places to go, right?
Of the safe places to go, which restaurants you can go to, which hotels. Essentially, stops and spots that you and your family could be at in the deep south states without essentially getting lynched.
And in this, Mahershala Ali is Dr. Don Shirley, a classically trained pianist, I think, or is he a jazz pianist? I'm not sure. And Viggo Mortensen is his bodyguard. And this has become a little mired in controversy because Dr. Shirley's family have said, like, none of this happened.
Yeah.
And it kind of works against it as well, having, you know, a white Farrelly brother directing it as well. Mm. So
that, and Viggo Mortensen used a word that he shouldn't have used
in an interview.
I think that's been
an interview.
Yeah. He was talking about the movie and he said something he shouldn't have. It was the biggest controversy of the season until Liam Neeson turned up.
That's true. But for me, it was also like in Black Klansman, a lot of the white actors used the N-word all over the movie. But for me, watching it in 2018, you're really still, you're waiting for everybody to react to it because that's how we are so used to people doing it.
Yeah.
But in the movie, the African-American characters don't react to it. They can't, right? And so that sort of really, really sort of took me a while to get my head around.
While we're speaking of controversy, this next one hasn't been a controversial film as such, but it has a controversial subject, Vice.
Yeah. Dick Cheney, everyone's hero.
The great Republican savior.
Yeah, Played by Batman.
I have heard there's a very interesting conceit in that it kind of ends his career and then comes back again. Like the movie almost ends at one point, which is way early. I really liked Adam McKay's style when he did The Big Short. I was able to understand what was going on with the financial crisis and I wasn't able to understand it at the time. I don't think this is going to be glorifying Dick Cheney. I think, did they deal with him? Was it he who shot somebody or he got shot himself?
He shot someone.
Yeah. Not many VPs can say that on...
Well, him and Aaron Burr, I guess.
Yeah.
Hamilton reference. Lovely. And, of course, there's also Roma, which is in contention, I think directed by, if I'm not mistaken, Alfonso Cuarón. Is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think what I find most interesting about that is it's a big movie. Alfonso Cuarón big director, but it was released on Netflix, which means that as opposed to being a big studio production and having the push of the traditional kind of big studio appeal, instead it's a streaming service that's up for Best Picture.
Yeah, I think for me, even for that, Roma, they had to go on a limited cinema run to be able to qualify for the Oscars.
Yeah,
right?
You have to show in a certain number of cinemas in the lead up to the nomination period.
So, but it was bought by Netflix
before then. After Cannes, I think
it was after Cannes. But but the idea was always to just release it as a Netflix feature. Mm. But they had to do it so they could qualify for the Oscars itself.
Yeah. But it's Netflix bid for respect within the film community. Yeah. I mean, they probably internally see themselves still as those guys that send you the DVDs in the post every month. So, are they seen by many Oscar voters as that?
And it's still interesting because I think, as of late 2018 or early 2019, Netflix are actually now officially a part of the MPAA, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think they recently joined, maybe potentially because of the Oscar situation. So that's something. I think in the sense that I think if they wanted legitimacy as a film studio, as a film distributor, that's a good first step.
In all fairness, there's some cachet that comes with being Oscar nominated, even if you
don't
win.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is you have to balance that out with that article came out 2 or 3 years ago about how most, like 60% of the Oscar voters are like over 50 and don't watch most of the movies. You just go with their gut.
Gosh, it's just, you know,
read a 3-line description and go, that sounds like something I like.
Doesn't sound like my kind of thing. I think I'll pass.
Change is slow, you guys. Speaking of which, Black Panther.
So, okay, we ready? Are we strapped in?
It's amazing this got even nominated. I didn't think that they would go for it, but maybe it's just there's been a whole load of African-American members of the MPAA who've just been waiting for their time. Mm. And this is a movie that, like, a large part of its box office success was people going to see it again and again because they saw themselves on screen.
Yeah, you say that, but I would also throw in the idea that potentially this was, in some ways, the least African-American movie, because it isn't about race, it isn't about being oppressed, it isn't about...
Well, everything Eric Killmonger does is about race and oppression.
But you know what I mean? It's not about the whites overcoming the... It's not even African-American, it's an African nation.
Yeah, there's only the Tolkien white guys in it.
The Tolkien white guys in it, and he's the baddie, right? So maybe this is the one movie that everybody feels comfortable... I want to say feels comfortable voting for, but... Maybe they're just like, hey, this is not really an African-American movie. It's just a really good, fun movie that all my kids were talking about, or grandkids.
If you were to look at Ryan Coogler's work, it's interesting, though, isn't it? Because I watched Creed recently, and I would have thought that Creed is almost more Oscar-ish than
completely.
Black Panther.
Yeah.
I mean, more of a traditional bet.
Yeah, and I think that's what I mean, right? That Creed feels more like... African American in trouble in the US, not given the opportunity, has to fight literally for his own way. Whereas Black Panther is just a black guy in a suit.
I'm just selling it there. I think a large part of the craft that goes into that film is that, yes, there's Wakanda in the comics, and it's like, yes, it's technologically advanced. They keep saying that, but they don't want to say too much of it because nothing dates quicker than, look, I have it in the 70s. I have a device in my hand that I can call people on.
Yeah.
So... the realization of that world, and I heard at one point the Talon, the Black Panther's flying car, essentially, when you see the back of it, the patterns on the light at the back are like African symbols. Mm. Does that level of detail seem to go into everything? All the different cultural leaders are like taken from different parts of around Africa. And like there's a real knowing love in a way. It's not like, oh, we're going to steal these things, which is what an awful lot of movies do when it comes to cultures.
Yeah, and like you said, that Congress that they pulled together, right? You can see the different tribes have different designs of their clothing, their different, color palettes are different. So there's a real, I don't want to say authenticity.
No one has to come out and saying like, oh, I felt like I was abused by this movie or this movie took from my culture. It's very much like, oh, well, these are the things that like, they all work incredibly well.
Done in respect, done in love.
So we've run through all 8. I'm sure you knew this moment was coming. If you had to guess, if you were going to take a stab at who it is that's going to be kind of called up when they open the envelope, who do you think it's going to be?
My money is on A Star Is Born.
I was going to say the same thing.
Oof, really?
Yeah.
Only because it's the kind of it's a rags to riches movie which the Academy loves. It's a movie about making it, in inverted commas.
It's a musical.
It's a musical.
Without being singing my feelings musical. Yeah. Which...
I guess it's a movie about stardom that stars are voting for. Yeah. And so they're just going to, ooh.
And they love that.
Yeah.
When there's a movie about Hollywood, they love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, The Artist was a good example.
Yeah.
I loved the movie. I really enjoyed it. didn't think it deserved to win. I didn't like La La Land, but that won. So
also, you talk about change taking time. This is a movie that seems to, the musical aspects and the old story appeal to the older folks, and just Lady Gaga's in it, which appeals to the younger folks. So it can be that kind of crossover thing as well within the Oscar voters.
This answer does not make me happy, but we'll live with it.
What did you want?
I don't know. Not A Star Is Born. I enjoyed it, but yeah. I didn't think it should win.
Okay,
I,
so then the yeah. other. So I'll propose a question. What movie would you want to win?
I mean, Black Panther's not going to get it. It's pointless. But they'll give it to the third movie like they did with Lord of the Rings.
Hey, I love the Lord of the Rings.
I know, and the first one deserved the Oscar, not the third one.
That's true.
Green Book is a dark horse because it's just like, it's getting a lot of love despite the controversy. It's getting a lot of awards. And, it, you know, without looking into the context, people can feel good about themselves watching it. I think Black Klansman raises a mirror too much that people watch it go like, oh no.
I feel bad now.
I feel bad now. I don't want to vote for feeling bad.
Yeah.
Vote for feeling good.
Yeah.
I would say Black Panther, but only if they could do it without coming across as condescending, and I don't believe in that. So I think we're calling it as A Star Is Born for the time being. Now, just a quick note to say that we mentioned earlier you can watch the uncensored versions of A Star Is Born and Black Klansman. You can also watch Bohemian Rhapsody, available on Astro Go and connected PVR. They also have other movies that, while not up for Best Picture, are up for other Oscars. So just a quick look. There is A Quiet Place, which was such a good movie.
And yeah. the Oscar it's up for is pretty apt. It's like sound editing. So... Well, did we saw the BFM screening, right?
Yeah.
You were sitting in the same one where halfway through you could hear that one person on the left-hand side of the cinema eating that bag of that one single crisp.
Yeah.
The entire audience was mesmerized by what was on screen, but also the way the sound was done.
Yeah, it's also that kind of... Like, when it was first announced, I remember a lot of, like, filmmaker friends of mine going, wait, Quiet Place is nominated for Best Sound when there's practically no dialogue, mostly sound effects. And again, that was the point, right?
Yeah.
You're still... Even throughout all that, you get whatever it is feeling, which is probably just great acting, great directing. But you also just get completely riveted. You're bought in. You're on tenterhooks throughout the whole thing.
Sometimes the key to an Oscar is knowing when not to use the orchestra.
Yeah.
A Quiet Place, up for Best Sound Editing, available to watch on Astro Go. And then we've got Incredibles 2 as well.
Yeah. Was it decades in the making? It seemed to take forever to get a sequel that took place directly after the first one.
Yeah.
It's such a great action movie.
Yeah.
Completely.
And it's a good kids movie as well. I mean, it's got that expanding the team kind of ethos to it. And it is slightly weird that they went with the whole thing of the flashing lights. Seems to have caused a little bit of a problem for them. So that is something to be aware of watching. I think they eventually had to put signs up outside cinemas in the US that if you are having problems with flashing lights, you should get away from it.
Yeah.
But it was just nice to be back with that team again, even though like the coach's voice has aged a lot in the meantime, but you don't really notice it.
They also had to recast Dash because 15 years...
It's like this now.
15 years does quite a bit for a boy. No, Incredibles 2 was great. We've all seen it. We've all seen the first one. We've all waited 15 whatever years for it. And you don't miss a beat, right?
Yeah.
You're immediately back with this family. You know who these guys are. It's not even the next day from the ending of the first movie.
It's the same moment with the Underminer.
It's 3 seconds later or something.
Can I just say that I did not like The Incredibles?
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
not?
As far as
can
Pixar's,
I do that?
That's that.
As far as Pixar's output goes, I just thought, you know. But The Incredibles 2, I loved.
Oh, really?
The Incredibles 2 was amazing. Yeah, and it made me kind of revisit The Incredibles with a bit more affection. So, if for nothing else, I love it very deeply.
Because The Incredibles 1 is like the best James Bond / Fantastic Four movie that was never made.
Well, sure.
Which was like, and that was before all the superhero movies we have now. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I'm not convinced. By The Incredibles. But
he runs really fast.
Yes, I know. Okay, so we've just kind of been going through what you can expect out of the Academy Awards. We have our own big bet that we've put out. We're going to say A Star Is Born. We're going to be possibly proven wrong in the next installment of Watch Now. But till then, this has been Watch Now, brought to you by Astro. This is the evening edition as well, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.